Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen here with Debbie G, who is decided to return after not being able to make it last week, but that's okay. We were glad to have her back. And she was not able to make it last week because she was on a really interesting trip. I mean, she was like, you know, doing a road trip, which was really cool. We'll get to that in a moment. But anyway, this is your Daily Dose of Happy. We're so happy you decided to join us today. And we have a little bit of an email that we got about the last time Debbie was on. But first, I got to ask you, I mean, when we chatted last week, you were sitting in a very comfortable chair on a country club.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, I know you couldn't really make the last podcast. But I mean, if you're not going to be able to make it, you might as well be in comfort. That's
well,
the way I look at it.
Yeah, completely. That's not where I was when we talked last week.
Last week you were on the road. That's true. The week before though, you were in the country club chair when we were doing the last show. Yeah. So I got that kind of messed up, didn't I?
No, you did it perfectly. So I'm just having an interesting moment right now because my computer crashed.
I'm using
this hilarious makeshift like thing. If I'm trying to look at my, anyway, this is so fabulous that I'm even on right now. Can we just get it? I just woke up this morning going, I am so grateful for my heart and I am so grateful for my life. Yeah, my computer completely ate it. My hard drive is safe.
Hooray.
Thank you, God.
So you have the data.
So I have the data, but my whole system, if y'all even see how I have this hooked up right now, seriously, like I should get an award for coming up with how this looks. I think if there were an award for how cattywampus you can set up your technology to get on a show, I'd be winning it right now. Now, I couldn't just use my phone, you all know. I needed to do that. So just know this.
Well, this is the Rube Goldberg day. That's the way I'm going to look at it. You know who Rube Goldberg was? He had all these crazy little things that hooked all together in all kinds of funny ways.
So you got this
crazy hookup at your end. I've got this crazy hookup where we're using Zoom as usual, but I'm also hooking it into StreamYard because I'm also testing that at the same time. So everything is like being held together by chewing gum and bailing wire today.
If you only even knew how true this shit was right now, I swear to God. No, I don't even know if I can bring this up to even show. I'll tell you what, you guys can follow me on Instagram, Facebook. What's my newest favorite? TikTok. Follow me on TikTok. I love TikTok. Okay, camera. I see you.
It's amazing what happens when we get our entire routine thrown out of whack. Everything, it just seems so different.
This is what change looks like in my life. Mm. This is what, now, y'all, you want to hear what happened though when I, okay, so let's go take a step back. So we were talking about when I had to cancel with you because all of a sudden I'm on the road to go
You're
to
on
Arizona.
The road. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So Miranda, who's really rad, you guys, if you haven't seen Miranda, check her out on Unify Women Rising. She's also the director, one of the advisors and directors of Unify. So she's like, hey, Debbie, let's, she was supposed to come here. She wants me to go to Arizona. To where the guy who owns Hemp Incorporated has this awesome. Okay, you guys, look. It's called the Kin Community. On 420, we're going to be doing this huge event. They have 40 buses coming. They're going across the world. This is all in support of our veterans. And this man, Bruce Perlin, has created a sustainable property out there in Arizona. This is the first one. Spent a good $100 million in planting trees.
Yow.
This is all for the veterans. It's phenomenal. So everything that we're doing is about supporting the efforts of all of that. And he's a phenomenal man. He was actually known as the Kingpin of Pot.
Okay.
And that's the name. That is actually the name of the documentary that this gentleman did. And then he was smart enough to buy hemp.com.
Oh, yeah. So he got a good one. Yeah.
So he buys hemp.com and now he's almost a billionaire and he's created all these properties for people.
Wow.
He's extraordinary. So that's why I was there. Anywho, so.
But that sounds like it was a worthwhile trip just to be there for that. I mean, that's really
a 12-hour drive. Let me tell you that, number one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was totally cool. Yeah. Okay, so this was a Friday. And I'm like, oh, shit, oh, shit. Oh, excuse me. I'm like, oh, poop, oh, poop, oh, poop.
There goes our team rating.
Debbie's in the house. So,
yeah, right.
So anyway, then, so I'm like, oh, no, because I totally flaked it off. I was off in happy land about the fact we're going to Arizona and we're road tripping and my son's coming and it was just great. 12 hours on the freeway after we talked.
Which is a lot of driving.
Dude, 12 hours. We did not get into Arizona until 2 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
We sat in, I'm from California. Now, what? I don't know that the 15 on the way to Vegas is going to be completely destroyed. So I'm just like, nope, I'm not thinking about anything. I'm just thinking about, I'm going to Arizona. I'm on a road trip. Right? So my son's over there. He's like, he's mumbling and grumbling. And I'm like, we're going. Look at all these cars in front of us, a sea of cars. So I was taking my phone out, taking pictures of the cars, going, oh, look at all these cars. then I call my other son. I'm like, I think you're going to need to find us a hotel room because we're not going to get in in time. So then we went to the cheesiest Motel 6. Kingman, but your Hotel 6 is cheesy.
That was another endorsement we just lost. That's okay.
Sorry, Motel 6 in Kingman. Well, it was kind of. Anyway, they didn't have a two bed thing. And my son was like, yeah, I'm sleeping on the floor. I don't know why I birthed you. You can't sleep. All right. Whatever you want to do. You want to sleep on that floor, Mr. 6'7" man. I'm good with that. That's okay. Cause he would have probably knocked me off anyway.
Mm.
He's a big guy. So then we get over to the location. And this is all about manifestation. You guys want law of attraction and you want a reality that reflects your desires. This is how y'all do it. You get happy. You get happy as you're going. You get happy as you're moving. You don't get grumbly, complaining and whiny. None of it. And when stuff hits the fan, I must embrace it. Now, now we get over to Kingman and then the next day we go to Miranda. I'm sitting in the back of a Polaris and we're driving, which is like a Jeep, right? Mm-hmm. I'm chilling with her daughter and we've got our puppies, but I left them in the car because I didn't want them to go on this little trip. Free range cattle everywhere.
Wow.
Like they were looking at me like, what's up? Why are you like on our road right now?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, like. Like they've got their babies and they've got babies and they're serious. They were looking like, why are you there? You know, just all this curiosity. And there were donkeys up on the hill, these wild donkeys, which was really rad. And apparently if you bring the carrots, the donkeys will come up to you, which would be interesting. So next time which will be 420, everybody. We are
April
going
20th.
To, April right. 20th. So. That happened. And then then Miranda and I scooted off. We all went to it's near Phoenix.
Okay.
Sunday. So a couple days have passed now and now I'm on Sunday and I had a commitment at 11 o'clock in the morning to do an event.
Okay.
I did that. And as soon as I turned the Zoom off, my computer went and I went, oh, that's not good. That's bad.
But it was good timing because you finished your event.
Totally. But it didn't download the event, but I did fulfill my commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I didn't think I should be doing that event, I didn't go with my gut. But anyway, that's a whole other story. I don't want to talk about that.
Okay.
I want to talk about the fact that at that moment, I thought this was just, uh-oh. So for about a half an hour, I was kind of doing the oh shit walk.
Right.
My entire hard drive's there, like blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. And so, of course, I'm going through scenarios. I've been a graphic designer for years. I had a marketing publication and all this stuff. I know what happens. I know what happens if you don't back up your system.
Yeah.
So finally decided, okay, forget it. We got to get on the road because now we got to go back to the desert. The house that you saw me where I was sitting in the in the chair. So now I'm headed to back to the desert. Okay. I'm going to go see Josie. Y'all need to check out Josie, Drama to Dharma. It's really cool. So we get there. And at, by this point, I've stopped. I within a half an hour, maybe 45 minutes, the only thing that was going through my head was if I hadn't stressed out, I would have made different decisions. I can't do would-haves and I can't should-haves on myself. Well, because my son was trying to do one thing and it was just a thing. So, but because I had that half an hour of really humanness, which I love, I made decisions out of that space rather than a calm, peaceful space that I was able to get into right away because I just started doing my breathing.
But we've all done that. It's not like that's a foreign territory. We've all been there. We've all done that.
Right, right. But that was a good learning moment for me to realize, like, I mean, really, you have to, it's like that practice, man. I have to step into that practice and really do that breathing and really let it come in and actually take over the worry, angst, emotion, the trigger of, oh my God, my computer just died, because it's not going to help. Shit.
No, not really.
They did it again. So it's not going to help anything. I can promise you that. So here's what finally happened. So we get home and I were checking out the computer and Christopher's like, well, the hard drives, it's not locked in there. So he put it back in and we're thinking, yes, it's going to start. So I start the computer up. At this point, I've gotten to gratitude about the fact that my computer's died. I have to mention this. And that it's going to be a glorious new computer that I'm going to be getting. That must be why it died.
Ah.
So I'm going into this glorious story about this rad new system I'm going to so be getting. Okay.
Right.
I'm cool with it. I'm like, all right. So, and what, you lost all your stuff? Yeah. I've got Telegram 5 years. I've got all this. I'll figure it out. I'm not worried about it. So it didn't fix. It wasn't fixing it. So I had a whole nother day. And then yesterday, my son says, my other son gives me a desktop, and then my other son says to me, here, let me go. He takes the, there's a special connector that you can get on a hard drive and plug it in so that it has a USB on it. So you can put it into another system to see if it's still retrievable.
Sure.
Guess what? It's good.
Hooray. All right.
It's good. And that is my story of how, what you do. And look, I'm still going to get a rad system. I can feel it coming. But now I still have my hard drive. That's like still saying I have my mind. I love this. Y'all feel me, right?
Well, that's pretty big, actually. I mean, because I'm I wouldn't say a geek, but I'm pretty computer savvy. And having that hard drive, that basically saves your day because you just got another box to plug it into and you're back up and running. You don't even have to reload anything. I mean, it's just all right there. So, yeah, that's really, really hot that that's happening that way.
Yeah, totally.
But what you were doing, basically, was getting yourself into a space of how can I deal with this in the most upbeat way. And that's not easy to do. I mean, this is what you're basically doing is going into the metaphysical gym and you're working out against some pretty tough weights. That's really what you're dealing with when you're in a situation like that.
Yep. And you get really sweaty.
You do.
Yeah. Big time.
But it's exercise and it's good exercise. I think it's the time that we actually do our best growing, our best learning about how to refocus on all the stuff that we need to focus on. When the spam is hitting the fan, that's where it's toughest, but it's also where we get the biggest benefit.
Completely, because I know from experience what doesn't work.
Yeah, I think I do too. I've got a lot of experience there.
I think we all do. Without the dark, you wouldn't know your spark. Kapoom!
Yeah.
So now it's about a game. Let's play this game. Oh, we're going to have that happen. Okay, cool. It's all going to be, it all works out dependent upon our vibration, what we're feeling like. I mean, it's all up to us individually to figure it out. And the way I handled it was just like, look, this might be my last day on earth. I'm going to be drumming. I'm going to be like really extreme.
Okay.
But this is the truth. So this is what my mind does. This might be my last day on earth. What if it is? What if it is? Am I going to just spend my entire existence stressed over that? Or am I going to enjoy living while I'm still here?
Yeah, exactly.
And given that my children's father's not still here, and he was 51 when he died, I mean, that hit hard and it hit home.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever lost anyone out there, think of what your gratitude is and the grief. Your gratitude and grief is the moment you realize that life is precious because they've left you with the gift of recognizing that it is.
That's true. Yeah, it's not easy thing to see, especially when you're in the middle of the grief. But you're right. That is ultimately something that comes through.
Oh, no, because death sucks. It's like the hardest thing we've ever been through, ever, ever as humans, because but what I know is that it is our greatest gift to experience that when someone leaves this earth. And I'm not going to ever say it doesn't hurt because it's a pickle.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pickle. It took me over a year to get to that point. Maybe two.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so what about that email? Let's talk about that.
Yeah, sure. This is actually from a listener named Deborah. So this is Deborah to Debbie. And she wrote this in after your first official visit here as a member of the team. She says, so lovely to hear that Debbie G has joined the team. That was a great first episode with her. She does indeed glow in her flow. Love the discussion around words. I'm realizing how I have always hung rather grimly onto the words themselves instead of relaxing into and allowing the flow and the vibration behind them to carry me forward. Another hidden way in which my mind was exercising judgment and control, looking for buoys to clutch onto instead of allowing myself to swim and to trust that the waters will support me. I am safe and don't need to protect myself. I can strike out away from the shore of my mind, which is trying to pull me back to safety through constant judgment and control. Safety, she says, is always within us when we allow ourselves to let go, to swim and trust. It's gloriously freeing and so much fun. And by the way, she says, I'm loving the Taya boot camp experience with David Strickle. It's incredibly powerful. And of course, I have you and your fabulous show to thank for introducing me to the stream of David in the first place. In deep appreciation, as always, Deborah. So, yeah.
Ooh, I love this. I love this. I want to say that, Deborah, you rock because I see all your posts all of the time in the Taya boot camp group.
Mm-hmm.
And you're, she's killing it, man. She's killing it. David Strickle, I met David, almost 4 years ago.
Uh-huh.
So he's awesome. But Deborah, she's kicking it. She's killing it. It's unbelievable. And thank you for the email because that's rad. And I love that.
Well, she's also one of our most treasured listeners too and writes in fairly frequently. So
oh, that's cool.
That too. Yeah.
Yeah,
we get cool emails from listeners. It's really, really fun.
Are we both on screen?
We're using the Zoom screen right now. So when one of us talks, we get the screen. And then when the other one talks, they get the screen.
That's not happening.
It won't happen at your end. It happens on the video that's going out to people who are watching the recording or who are watching us on one of the groups.
Yeah, I'm watching it.
It's not happening on the groups?
No.
It should be.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think so. So they're all seeing me. They're not seeing your cute face.
Well, that's an interesting thing. Let me just see. It should be working. Kind of makes
me
wonder.
Not seeing your cute face. You all want to see Walt's cute face, and we're not seeing his cute face. I'm looking at the YouTube. Hey, YouTube. What's going on? So
I think I know why, too. Okay. Well, I'll just have to do something about that.
Yeah, he's going to do something about that. So while he's doing something about, hey, Walt, pick a number between 1 and 82.
1 and 82, 43.
All right. 43 is the 43rd verse of the Tao Te Ching from Change
Dr.
Your Thoughts,
Rendar.
Change Your Life. Yep, absolutely.
Okay.
This is all about living softly. The softest of all things overrides the hardest of all things. That without substance enters where there is no space. Hence, I know the value of non-action. Yes. Teaching without words, performing without actions, few in the world can grasp it. That is the master's way. Rare indeed are those who obtain the bounty of this world. Living softly. The Tao Te Ching, I see you. You're underneath me now.
Yes.
I'm feeling like this is like Brady Bunch. I'm going to look down.
Hey, this is Brady Bunch. Hello there. Hi.
Hi, Walt. Look up. Look up. Hi.
Nice to see you.
Just saying.
That was Hollywood Square is one or the other. But
so Living Softly. Ooh, what a great thing to talk about. Have you ever noticed how powerful water is?
Oh God, yes. Water is amazing.
It can be used as it can erode. It can take down an entire town.
Oh yeah.
But it's also in its purest state, in its natural peaceful state, the softest thing in the world.
And it's something that we're very easily able to control with our emotional states too.
Totally.
Yeah.
So if you go to your sink and you turn it on with intention and put your hand underneath it and just allow the gentleness of the water to flow through, that is how we are to live our life. Notice how it flows through gently. It just is. You can't grasp it. You can't grab a hold of it. You might be able to get a few little droplets in, but it's not sustaining.
Mm.
Okay. So yep. That's life. And if we allow that observation and that softness is what I was picking up with this verse of the Tao. Good one. Is to just remain soft. And one of the ways I love to do that is also by just doing breath, mm-hmm. just my breath and just to take in my breath and to feel the softness that comes in with breath. Breath is our life force. And it's cool. It's our chi, man. It's the first thing that's the first thing you took when you came in this world.
That's true.
It's going to be the last thing you take too.
Probably.
I'm just guessing.
It's a fair guess. Yeah.
I'm thinking.
It's a good estimate.
I'm thinking.
Yeah.
So it's pretty damn important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and part of living a soft life is the softness of breath, the softness of water. Plus it gets us present with the moment to actually appreciate it. So now we're going to take it a step further. Now, what if we're appreciating the person who built all of the structures and the piping and everything else to bring the water into the home?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
This is for all y'all right now who have a sucky life and who are going, I can't get into gratitude and gratitude's a bunch of shit and it doesn't work. Well, I'm just telling you, okay, fine. But I'm giving you somewhere to dig deep to find that moment of appreciation. Sometimes when life doesn't present you with what you think it needs to be presenting you, it's just because you're attached to the outcome anyway. But the way I get out of it is this right here.
Well, plus it's also, I think it's really just a reminder of what to do day by day, moment by moment, regardless of whether life sucks at that moment or not. It's a good practice to just constantly be refocusing our attention. Even if our attention is fairly good, we can always aim higher.
Totally.
We can always get to a better place. You know, also the fact that you're focusing on water reminds me on water. And then also you were focusing on air and breathing. It reminds me of something that Louis D'Souza, who does the Monday show with me, likes to talk about. He talks about his four phases of enlightenment that he went through. The first phase that he went through was realizing just how important the stuff that we eat is. And he spent a lot of time focused on all the aspects of eating well and how it nourishes the body and so forth. And then he realized the next step for him was to learn about drinking, because you can go quite a few days without food. You can't go all that many days without water. Yep. That'll get you faster. So
right.
He got into the water thing for quite some time. And then he realized the thing that was even more important than that was air, because you can go about a minute or two without air, but that's about it. You can go a lot longer without the water. So he says, okay, so the next most important thing is the air. And he went with that for a while, learned about breathing techniques. And then he finally realized, after listening to Abraham Hicks, the most important thing of all that was even more important than air was thoughts. So we have a hierarchy.
Thoughts are more important than air. Hold on a minute. I got to sit with that.
Okay.
Keep telling me why he said that.
Well, pretty simply, you can't live without thoughts. It's not possible to do. And the moment that you're no longer thinking is the moment you're dead, at least thinking in human form. So I would tend to agree with him. You could be breathing. They could put you on a heart lung machine. Your body could be breathing. But if you're not thinking, that's what I call it, brain dead.
So the physical, the death of the physical.
Of the physical. Right. Yeah.
Of the physical.
Right. Yeah. Because obviously we continue obviously in source, but you know,
I haven't
in terms
got
of the
there
physical
yet.
Life.
Yeah. 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 I haven't got there yet, but I'm contemplating his theory.
And yeah. to kind of add to it, since we are creative beings and everything flows out of what we think and how we feel about it, then our breathing and our water and our food and every other experience we have flow out of that thought process. Without thought process and without the feeling attached to it, none of it would be part of our experience. It is the fundamental piece of the puzzle or the fundamental, it's like the atoms that put together the matter. It's the thing that without which you can't have the matter.
I get it. I got you. I feel you. I feel you. Because thought does not equate to word. Thought equates to a space which is nothing, where everything is created. So to me, when I see thought, when I'm seeing where it comes from, so it comes from source is what I'm hearing you say.
Sure. Well, thought is source expressing itself.
Yes. And yeah, totally trippy. I like that idea.
Yeah.
I like that idea. Huh. Most definitely cool.
It's kind of like a basic survival pyramid, right? Where you have thought at the top, next level down is the breathing, next level down is the water, the drinking, next level down is the eating, and everything below that is the rest of life. So it's kind of a way of understanding how the whole thing is connected together and how the whole thing works together.
Okay, well, so what about, so your thought and your belief system, right? So if your belief system's out of whack, your thought's going to be out of whack, and you're probably all out of whack. So if you, right, that's how it used to be for me completely. So if my thoughts were off, I was off. That makes sense. That makes total sense.
Yeah.
A belief
is just a thought that you think over and over again. So it's also sort of like a subtopic of thought.
It really is, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and actually, don't you love that? The B and then the lie. B. Lie.
Okay.
The lie. I mean, it's just a belief. It could be a lie. It doesn't matter. Be a lie.
I never thought of it in terms of a lie, but I guess it can kind of start as one, I suppose, but that's really just more along the lines of acting.
So belief is belief. But within the teachings of the Tao, they this is what I kind of dig, because it really is without belief, but rather just is. It says the minute that we think we're being good, we're not. The minute that you're attempting to be good, then you see the polarity come up, you see. The minute that you judge something for what that you think it is, whether you think it's good or not, that you've entered into a space of polarity, which is ego, which is where the thought comes from in our belief systems. So if we take a step back and we get back into just the essence of, as David would, the stream of David, or the stream of consciousness, or Esther Hicks, or or you, Walt, or me, or every single one of you out there that are a conscious, every one of you are conscious. So it's the stream that's coming through. I see. I like that idea. And I like the idea of the thought.
It's a great way for me to remind myself that I am originally source energy. Because it's so easy in this physical form to think of myself as a human being, which is fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong with thinking of myself as a human being, but there are times.
Because you kind of are.
Well, yeah. But I also at times need to reground myself. I mean, we talk about grounding in terms of going out, you know, bare feet standing on the ground, and that certainly is one form. But the kind I'm talking about is regrounding myself to where I originally come from and to what I am still a part of. It's a way of reminding myself. I never really left that flow. I'm still a part of it.
Yeah, totally. We got this luxury to come here and be human. And I had an experience today, actually, that was quite interesting. So I do a lot of shows, and I love where you just went with this, because it's part of the humanness, but not humanness kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I had to talk to somebody about something delicate today.
Okay.
And I love this person tremendously. So I had to really stop for a minute. I want to tell you what I used to do before I go into what I did do. I used to have an entire act of what it was going to look like, what I was going to say, what she could be based upon, right? I mean, seriously, if you ever had something to talk to someone about, like your wife or your buddy or whoever, sure, and you go through this scenario and then you talk, and then you might even talk to, like, you talk to somebody and say, you know, I think I'm going to say this, this, and this. What do you think? Do you think I should say this, this, and this? I mean, they're creating an entire drama moment because you don't trust shit about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Yep. So that's what I used to do.
Sure.
Today, my brain for about 2 seconds tried to go there and I went, ah, what are you going to do? Touch my heart. This was, you guys are going to love this. Request safe container.
Ooh.
Request the safe container. Use your tools, Debbie. That's what you're going to do. Your communication tools, which I love my tools. I've been practicing for years. And this person that I'm talking to practices the same communication. So I said, so this wasn't foreign, which was great.
Right.
Which is why I've got to meet a dude that speaks my language so that we can, yeah. So this safe container, I said, you know, sweetheart, I need to create safe container with you because I want to discuss something that might feel uncomfortable or might not. But you see, when we create that with love in our heart, with this desire to move forward, because what we're sharing is truly just, it just needs to be shared. There's not right or wrong in it. Safe container means there's no judgment. There's none of that. It's a willingness to be curious about what's real for another person. And safe container has nothing to do with me. To be accepting and appreciating of where they are, to acknowledge them and what they say and what comes up for them, to be very, very, to recognize the beauty within them.
Yeah.
And just to be in that space. And the only way I can do that is by creating safe container from my heart moving forward. I had the conversation and it was beautiful because it was a dance.
It was a dance.
Mm-hmm. It was like this beautiful dance of, wow, you see me. Wow, you see me. Wow, you see me. Thank you for seeing me.
Mm-hmm. See, sure.
Sometimes when we do things to be seen, we aren't seen. So sometimes when we create container with the intent of being seen, then we are, because we know how to speak our needs, know what our values are, and express that. But that today takes me back over to you, to what you're talking about in the humanness of who we are, but also in the etheric sense. So in this conversation, I say to her, we're literally a month apart in birthdays. Okay. I'm like, we made the decision to come here and do this dance, man, to come here and love each other unconditionally through everything. And we have for years upon years upon years. This is not even how we used to talk when we first met. We're such best friends, though, that it's really easy for us to talk about these things. And though it may sound foreign to people who are just hearing the concept of compassionate communicating and connecting, it's truly the softest, sweetest way to be, because then you have two people who are being heard and seen together.
Sure. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a whole lot different from what's the classic line, the one that theoretically every husband or every wife dreads. We need to talk. And at the moment you hear those words, for a lot of people, it's like, oh, God, what's that going to mean? Whereas this is an entirely different approach. This is an approach that basically says, hey, we're not going to get into any kind of guilt routine. We're not going to do any blaming. We're not going to do anything like that. We're just talking here because we need to have something to talk about that's important to us.
Totally. Could you imagine, Walt, like creating safe container with your wife about something that, and you really need to be heard, or she needs to be heard, or you recognizing that she needs to be heard by based on her actions and saying, let's create a safe container. And in that space, you can say anything to one another. There is no judgment. There is no fault finding. Within that space, you are just 100% accepting and reflecting what each other has to say. With that reflection of their words is so that they can hear what you've just heard that they need. Mm-hmm. So if that isn't quite it, then they can go a little further into what that could look like. It requires a deep level of compassion and understanding to do this. And I challenge people right now to just step forward and be willing to be curious about what's real.
It's cool. I like it.
For another previous start.
Yeah, I like that. That's a lot. And I like it because, well, I like it for a few reasons, but one of the main reasons I like it is it takes all of the angst out of it.
Yeah.
When that angst is gone, it's like, oh, thank goodness. It's like it's like taking a group breath. Like, oh. Now I don't have to stress about this anymore. Now I don't have to worry about this anymore. I can just, I can relax. And of course, totally. The moment that you're relaxed is the moment that actually all the judgment goes out. Because it's not needed anymore, right?
Right.
It was needed because you were in stress, right? And without the stress,
totally.
You don't need it.
That's it. Now, yeah. So here's a little piece of it that, here's a little piece of it. When you do, because you are in partnership and you have a wife, mm-hmm. This is what I would encourage anybody who's going to open up a container with anyone before you ever say a word, is that you put your hands together like this, sitting apart from one another, and that you breathe at least 10 times with each other, and that you match humming.
Okay. Create a tone together.
And you match the tone.
Mm-hmm.
And you will feel the connect. You can do this with anybody, actually. We could do this right now. You could do it with any human being. Doesn't matter who it is. I had Andy Goldman on Unify Women Rising yesterday. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about the humming effect.
Yeah.
And it's the humming effect is our own tool and mechanism to heal within our own body. But it is also the way to create the safest container you've ever had. And it's going to open up the senses and the sensual euphoria and lead you into a land of Xanadu, which is sexual in nature.
Well, it makes
sacred,
sense.
Sacred euphoric Xanadu. That's how y'all get there. That's what I've heard.
It makes a lot of sense because sound is either harmonic or disharmonic. And when you're making the same sound at the same pitch, you are creating I guess harmony isn't what we normally associate with it, but you're creating a unified sound of the same vibration, of the same sound level. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, there's a very good reason why music is soothing to the soul. It's because of the vibrational nature of it. And when what you're talking about is creating a vibrational tone that just calms. Yes. It's one of the reasons people get into binaural beats, which is an interesting thing. And I don't want to go off on that subject just yet, but it's why people do that, because it creates a tone that is in that case, it's a relatively low vibration tone, because that's the vibration rate that our mind works at, depending on, you know, which of the states that we're in, you know, alpha, beta, theta, delta.
Correct.
But the fact is, when you're in that lower vibrational space, it's why bass in a music or subwoofer bass feels so good. It's because it's low vibration. It's a very slow vibration. Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. when it's constant and when it doesn't jar you, and when it's not, you know, disharmonic, you got two tones that just don't work together. When it's not that, it can be so soothing. It can actually put you to sleep.
Completely. Absolutely.
That's how soothing it can be, you know?
Totally. So imagine that you are the instrument.
Mm-hmm.
And that the melody, that we each have our own melody. And in fact, that even takes me into, let me tell you a story.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to tell you a story about the most compassionate tribe in Africa. And this is a true story. My mentor told me, and I'm going to tell it my own way. So I don't know.
That's all right. Exactly. Well, that's what we always do. So you're right in line.
I love that. So This is beautiful. So there really is the most compassionate tribe in Africa. It's a real thing.
Okay.
When a husband and wife decide that they want to have children, the wife goes off into the forest and she prays. And she prays and she prays until that she hears a melody. And she hears a song and she learns this melody, this song. And she just sits in the forest and she sings it. And then she sings it all the way back. She teaches it to her husband. They make love. They sing the song. During her pregnancy, they're singing the song. They're teaching it to the aunts, the uncles, the whole tribe. Everybody is learning this child's song.
I can see where it's going.
Yeah. When the child is born, they're singing the song. Remember, you all have your own melody. This child has his own melody. Mm-hmm. So as this child is growing up, and we'll just fast forward it to being a teenager. And you all have you ever had a teenager? Mine are grown now, but I did have.
Well, even if we haven't, we've all been there. We've all been teenagers. So one way or the other.
Remember when you were a teenager and you did something really gnarly, dude, and you got completely reprimanded for it and you were shamed and you were like, because that's just all that happens. What they do in this particular tribe is everyone gathers around and they all sing his song.
I see. Okay.
They all sing his song. Yeah. Doesn't matter what he did. That's not discussed. Even when the head honcho gets called in and chief gets called in and chief's got to come. Man, you do something so bad that chief's got to come in. You know you did wrong.
Yes, this is true.
You're not like, oh, the chief is coming. Oh my God. Oh, sneezers. Right? They leave him to be so that he can remember who he is. He can remember the melody within.
What a radically great solution that is.
To remind people of their greatness rather than reminding them that they messed up.
I have two of those today.
God. Lord help y'all. So that is, but this is a true story. You can Google it, look it up.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. It really is. Now all this greatness about compassionate communicating, the fact that you have your own melody. I got a lot of this from the beautiful work of Marshall Rosenberg.
Okay.
Marshall Rosenberg brought forward something called nonviolent communication. And NBC is a practice. I practice a variance of it because it's, as we all do with every practice we ever get, it becomes something of your own. But all this stuff we're talking about has been proven to make a heck of a lot better marriage, but way better partnerships. My son can now tell me, hey, you're not even trying to be understanding, Mom. Yeah, he uses it on me now. Gets no figure. Whatever. Whatever.
It reminds me of what Louise used to tell me early on in my relationship with her, because she's formerly a psychotherapist and of course has all these different things that she taught her various clients, and then she taught them to me, and so I started using with her, and she said, dang, I can't get away with my own stuff anymore.
Totally screwed on that. Yeah. She did a great job.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, did such a good job. Well, actually, the first time I ever heard someone talk about compassionate communicating, whatever. I was like, that's why I'm single right there. Because that takes too much work.
Too much work. I'm not doing that stuff. Forget that.
I'm not doing that. Oh my God. Jesus, no. And what it really was is discovering my own needs, my own value, and what even needs and values were. So that was foreign to me too. See, all those things are foreign to people that, like, I used to be in the victim state of mind, or everything's happening to me, not for me.
Sure.
I have to do that. I don't get to do that. I get to do that rather than I have to do that. You know, it's just a whole shift of perspective. And when I can sit here and tell you all that a shift of perspective is possible in your life, you just have to make a decision to practice it and do it. It doesn't matter who you are. All of us can do this.
Oh yeah.
Everybody. Yeah.
I mean, it can be a little bit alarming at first to realize that we actually do have the power to do this kind of stuff. And I say that because I was in a place for a long time where I just felt like I had literally no control. I thought none of this was possible for me. The idea that I could actually choose what my experiences were going to be, that I could choose the way I respond to them, that I could choose how I was going to feel it. Even in, you know, situation X where I was normally feeling lousy, I could feel good. That was just outside of anything I understood. You know, so just coming to grips with the idea I could actually choose my mood was, you could have been speaking Urdu to me and I wouldn't have understood it any better.
Oh my God. Right. Oh geez. Too many crickets. And to anybody who just like got that, right?
I mean,
nah, he watched Eddie Murphy. I know he did. I just heard. Anybody remember that? Okay. Now we're going to go. Now we're coming in for the wind it up. Bring in the relief pitcher, guys, because here it comes.
I love it.
Laughter is it in a nutshell. So oh, yeah. this right here, this energy. Go find what makes you laugh. And I have some hints for everybody. I'm going to give you some tools right now.
Okay.
Zay Frank, Z-E-F-R-A-N-K. True facts. Just go look at true facts. In fact, I'm going to tell you which two to watch first.
Okay.
True facts about the ducks.
All right.
I'm going to apologize in advance.
Okay. And I'm really curious. Why do you have to apologize in advance for this?
You'll see. The dung beetle is another favorite. True facts about the ducks and true facts about the dung beetle. Oh. So if you out there are like, I can't get myself out of this, the fastest way you can get out of it is to laugh.
That's true.
To laugh. And that's one. My other go-to, think about what your go-tos are. Mine, it would be like Saturday Night Live, like more cowbell.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, like that, or the movie, Deuce Bigelow.
She didn't even say it.
Deuce. Why do I love Deuce Bigelow so much? Because he's so sweet.
Aww.
He's so kind. So he takes this movie that's completely like, this is like stupid slapstick comedy mm-hmm. stuff with the deepest, most incredible meanings that are lying underneath this if you're choosing to see it. Mm-hmm. But you're laughing so hard you can't. I'm in stitches every single time. Thank you, Rob Schneider, for doing that. I love you because
that's really
it's
cool.
It's my go-to.
Yeah. And it's important to know what your go-tos are too. You know them. That's so good.
Oh God. Yeah. I know them. You better believe it.
Oh yeah. Well, I have a number of them, but in terms of comedy, if I really need a comedy fix, there is an episode of Inside the Actor's Studio where Robin Williams was the guest. And the first 12 minutes of that broadcast, Robin was peak Robin. He was more Robin than he had ever been before.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, for anyone who knows that show, that episode is famous. That episode was just, I mean, that was the best of Robin Williams in 12 minutes.
I want to link you to that. I seriously do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God.
They still sell DVDs of that, believe it or not.
Are you sure? Okay.
DVDs aren't even sold hardly anymore. They still sell that one.
Robin Williams. Seriously. I mean, he was Robin Williams, man. Mm-hmm. But he left heart prints on the planet.
He
left heart prints on this planet, and that is your job today to think about. If this was your last day, how can you leave a heart print on this planet for somebody else to be able to be who that they are with freedom, love, joy, and just acceptance?
Because, yeah, he's brilliant at that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right? Mm-hmm. He just was, period. And so that's, I mean, we're heading in, today is Friday, we're heading into the weekend. And I say, no matter what your life looks like, find a way to be Robin Williams today.
Yes. Yes. I try to do that every once in a while. I know I can't quite reach his level, but I like to have him inspire me at times, because I know if I'm in that vein, I may not be the funniest guy in the world, but some of the stuff that comes out of me will be funny just because I'm thinking in terms of Robin Williams.
Right.
And what was his thing all about? His thing was all about, don't be tied down. Go beyond the boundaries. Break the boundaries. Dance past the boundaries. And he's doing it all the time. That's what made him so great. That's why everybody thought that his mind was working 50 times faster than everyone else's. It wasn't that. It's just that he was 5 minutes ahead of everybody else. So it seemed like he was going fast. He was just, his brain was moving the same pace as everybody else's. He was just 5 minutes ahead. That's all. But he did it with just beauty and grace and flow. And oh, he was so good at it. He was so darn good at it.
Seriously, I'm in 100% alignment with you on that one. One of the greatest people that we've ever had on this planet, as far as just period. He's Robin Williams was it. Yeah.
So I remember. Do you remember in the 1990s? I think it was he and Billy Crystal and Whoopi Goldberg used to do these fundraisers, and I can't think what they were called.
Yes, I do.
But they always had. Not routines, but they had comic things they would do as part of these live shows.
It was the comic relief.
Comic relief. That's what it was. Yes, you're right. Oh. That's what it was. And some of the things they did in comic relief were just, you just kind of sat back in disbelief and say, how do their minds come up with these things? Because it wasn't just one of them, it was three of them, because they're all three of them comic geniuses.
Right. And then Drew Carey kind of did a spin-off on that when he because he did that show where, it was crazy.
Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Speaking of Whose Line Is It Anyway, guys, I've got another interview I'm going to have to pop onto.
Oh my God.
Yep. We are at the top of the hour, dude.
That's just amazing. I mean, we got a few minutes left, so I'll fill up the last few minutes because we started a little bit late with this one. But it's amazing how fast this time flies by.
Oh no, I can just send a texty and say that we're good as soon as I find my phone.
That's all right. Well, I'll tell you what, you look for the phone. I'll do a minute or so of promos because we got to do those anyway. That's part of the show every week, and then we'll just kind of meet up in a minute. So here we go. Really simple. First of all, guys. We got this new thing that we're experimenting with right now. We're trying to bring the StreamYard in. That's, by the way, this is a gift from WG. She's the one who told me about this stuff, and it's pretty cool. I'm still getting the bugs out of it, as you can tell, because as she pointed out early on, it wasn't quite flipping back and forth the way Zoom normally does, because I got the two hooked together. So a little bit more experimenting to be done there. But what it amounts to is that this is just one more step we're taking to grow the show and to spread the word. And another step that I haven't really been playing on a lot lately, in fact, I haven't played on a lot at all, is asking people who are listening to spread the word. So I'm going to start doing that again, because let's be honest, the people who can spread the word the best are you. You're the ones who love the show. That's why you keep coming back. And by the way, we really appreciate the fact that you keep coming back, every single one of you, hundreds of you. So take a moment to share the show with somebody else, just somebody else who needs that little bit of humor that Debbie was talking about a moment ago, somebody who needs that little bit of uplift, somebody who might be dealing with something and they aren't quite sure how to deal with it, that's who you share the show with. And if you want a really, really quick way to share the show, that is what the LOA Today app is for, because they just help you just download the LOA Today app. You don't have to explain anything else. You don't have to tell them where to find it. You don't have to tell them we're on all the platforms. You don't have to do any of that stuff. You don't have to go to Facebook. You don't have to go to YouTube. You don't have to go to LinkedIn. Just download the LOA Today app, which is available on all platforms. So keep it really simple that way. And then once you've got them down the LOA Today app, the next thing that I want you to do is, well, first of all, they can listen to episodes because they're on the app. But secondly, use the app to fill in the little forms for sending in a question or sending in a comment, asking for help with something, asking to discuss a topic. Because the more we get people involved in the conversation here, the more the show continues to grow. So to summarize, make sure that you share. Tell a friend. Tell a friend to tell a friend. And keep passing it along. Yeah, like Debbie's doing right there. Right there. You just use the app. Get the app. Very simple. Yeah. Tell a friend to tell a friend.
Tell a friend.
Oh, and by the way, check us out on the live video places. Check us out on YouTube. Check us out on Facebook. We're going to be on LinkedIn at some point. I'm pretty sure we're still getting the permission there, but we're going to be in a few places.
Yep. And you're going to be over with us too. We're going to all be collaboration.
This is going to be like the linked link. This is going to be linking to linking.
That's good. Yeah. That's good.
This is going to be like super linking.
I love that. For anybody who wants to find me, please look at spiritualitygonewild.com.
Oh God,
find
yes.
me there. Find me spirituality.
How many people do you have involved in Spirituality Gone Wild now? I mean, there's 20. A lot of people there. 20 people?
I'd say about, yeah, everybody has their own show. It's a place for really cool people like yourself who to be seen. And it's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. That's a whole other thing we can talk about, but I am looking forward to our future collaborations. I also, we are partnered with Unify and peace2030.earth and lots of other really fabulous networks out there. All of the dots are connecting and that's what I love. And as conscious media producers, it's a really fun experience to be able to give people the platform they need to be seen. And for those out there that need to hear the words that are coming forward to be able to hear them. So yeah, then most definitely. And go find David Strickle, the stream of David.
Well, dude,
he's doing a new money thing right now and it's really badass. And just tell him Debbie sent you. How about that? And, and Walt sent you. Tell him Debbie and Walt.
Well, actually, David sent too, because he used to be on the show too. You know, so it's like all three of us at once sending out the same energy.
Oh, yeah. We're all telling you.
It's all there. Yeah. Yeah.
We're all saying.
And by the way, if you ever need anybody to give you the ultimate, endorsement of the Thai boot camp, you're looking at her right now. She was one of the earliest graduates and her story is remarkable. If you want to revisit the story, go back to two episodes to the episode where she told us about it because it's a remarkable story.
Really did remarkable. I do that?
You did.
Did I do that?
You did that. Yeah. Actually, it was the episode where you joined us last October or November or something like that. But yeah.
Oh, I don't even remember what I told you, but I will tell you.
But you told a story.
Well, I got a lot of those and they're good.
Yes, they are.
They're good. Well, remind me, I'll tell you what, next week I'll tell you all about what it was like to chase tornadoes. For
Ooh.
Real.
You were a tornado chaser? Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I went today. Well, my ex and I, we had a thing about weather. He really actually had more of a thing about weather and then I got into it because I'm like, yeah, that's cool. And I like, yeah, you want to go chase tornadoes? Yeah. Let's do that.
I love it. I think that's funny.
This is a whole, remind me.
I could see you as Helen Hunt, actually. I mean, that would actually make sense to me.
So. If it fits, wear it.
If it fits, wear it.
That's and right. If it doesn't fit, squeeze your ass into it. I don't even know what to say.
Oh, I love it. All right. Well, I know you got to get on to your next gig. So
yep,
we're gonna let you go.
I just told her. I'm like, I'll be right there.
So we'll let you go, but look forward to seeing you next week. We'll talk about this more. I mean, this is going to be good stuff to talk about.
I'm telling you, bring up the whole tournament. Remind me. I'll tell
you. Okay. I'll make
it.
A note. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think that'd be a great topic. So, all right. We'll see you next week.
It's phenomenal. Believe me. It's such a good story. You will tinkle yourself.
Okay. I can't remember the last time that word was used on the show. It's been a while. So thank you for that reintroduction. Oh, that's great.
Gotta love me.
Gotta love you. Absolutely.
Well, that's the whole key. I love me. You gotta love me because that's just how it is. You don't have a choice.
Works for me.
Try to hate me. Go ahead. It's just never going to happen. Yeah, it doesn't happen. Actually, I don't even know if that. I think that we're going to completely do away with that word altogether, period.
I think it's a good idea. Yeah.
Because all that is I want to be seen. I want to be
ultimately.
Heard.
Well,
ultimately.
Start following the practices we talked about during the show, and that's just going to go away on its own. You don't have to ban it. It's just going to disappear.
I think it's going to disappear. I think we're going to have the Mandela's effect on that. All right. I'll talk to y'all later. I'm going to jump on to my next one. Peace.
Thanks so much, Debbie. Thanks so much to our podcast listeners.
Love
we'll
you guys.
See you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everyone.